Let's turn back now to Proverbs chapter 16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? So we've been looking at the comparison of wisdom compared to gold and understanding compared to silver. The best gold, the best silver. So much so that it is an incomparable thing. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? It's speaking with assurance. It is something that is literally beyond our expression, and something that is to be admired. Judge for yourselves how much better it is. It is heavenly wisdom. And heavenly wisdom, remember, is better than worldly wealth. The statement that I ask you to remember: grace is the gift of God's peculiar favor. Grace is for the soul and eternity. Gold is only for the body and time. So I ask you to, for those of you that may have had a loved one that was passing away, if you've experienced that, you know how difficult that can be, and what a heartache that can be, and a heartbreak. And you know that with that person, at that time, there's no amount of money. No amount of money whatsoever. There's no interest at that point. It doesn't make any difference how much money one has. We've seen the passing of of Patrick Swayze recently. Here's an individual that was, by all intents and purposes, in the best of shape for a man. Just very much, very athletic, very energetic, took care of himself for the most part, and had plenty of money, and was stricken down with pancreatic cancer, and very quickly. And if you saw any of the interviews with him, very sad to see how, you know, he was still holding on to what he was going to do, and how he, and while that is in and of itself, that's a good thing to have that positive attitude, that how he is going he's going to be the one person that is going to beat this. And yet he was not able to beat it. He was not able to beat his appointed time to stand before God. Even as a person grows older, a person begins to lose their sense of value over different things. And I've seen this with my own mother. Many of her friends that will come and take her to lunch, and some of the places that they go are very, very nice restaurants. And I've seen, especially over these last 3 years, that those are no longer viewed as something very, very special. just by comments that she will make. And 10 years ago, that would have never been the case, because there's a value attached to certain things. If you take a loved one to dinner, and you want it to be a very special dinner, so you're going to take them to a very special place, and you know that you're going to have to spend a little more money because this is going to be very important. It's going to be very special. And they go and they say, "Wow, this is so nice. This is so lovely. This is just beautiful. Everything about it." But then as one grows older, they lose sight of that. It no longer has that same value to them. And so I can see by asking her, and I speak with her every day, and when I talk to her, and she'll say, "Oh yes, we went to lunch at Jake's in Del Mar." If you've ever been to Jake's, Jake's sits right on the water. Just right on the sand. And did you have a nice seat? "Oh yes, we sat by the window." "Well, was it a beautiful day?" "Oh yes, it was very clear and you could just see forever." And on she goes to talk about something else, and it really had no meaning. The gold and the silver lose their value to that person. But wisdom, the things of God, do not lose their value. Even as I mentioned this morning about the disease of Alzheimer's, we should never think that if we're a Christian, well, I would never get Alzheimer's because I'm a Christian. And Christians just don't, that just doesn't happen to them. That's not so. That is not so at all. And it's hard to imagine that we someday will not have the mind that we have today. Even to think about the Word of God. Even to remember our friends, our loved ones, to recognize them, to recognize the Word of God. But as we look this morning, the Lord never loses sight of you. You're never going to be lost. "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." I will never leave thee. If the Lord has shown His peculiar grace to you and given you that peculiar grace, you will have that grace till the day you die. It will never be lost, and you will never be lost, regardless of your physical condition. That is a beautiful thing. Understanding is something that should be gotten. And it's not something, it's not merely a fearful, where we're fearing or we're afraid, that type of seeking. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. The Sermon on the Mount. Looking at one verse out of that sermon, verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." It is blessed to hunger and thirst after righteousness. But there is a greater blessing that awaits the hungerer, the person that is hungering after those things. And that is that he shall be filled. Calvin says that hunger and thirst is here something of extreme necessity. Blessed are they who confine their prayers to seek provision only of what is fair, and languish like a starving man if they don't have it. We think of those words, and we've read them many times, no doubt. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Have you ever been hungry? Have you ever been hungry so much that you thought you were going to perish? Have you ever been so thirsty that you thought you were going to die of thirst? That's the picture that is drawn here. To be hungering after righteousness so much as a person, it's a comparison. Again, it is a word picture that the Lord has given us. And again, we are so prone to just read over these words and give very little thought to what they mean. And when I say we, I'm not pointing the finger at you out there. I'm saying we, me included. Then the joy of the Lord becomes the Christian strength, both to, on the one hand, and on the other, one to resist evil, and on the other to do good. To resist evil and to do good. We can't just confine ourselves to resisting evil, but to do good. If you've been found of the Savior, you have then been admitted into, and I say into the place, not a place, but the place of greatest peace, and of greatest joy, and to have the firmest foothold and the strongest arm that you can possibly imagine. So again, it brings us to that question of, have I moved from the paper to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I know the difference between the two? Do I know in my heart, not in my head, Philippians 4:7? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do I understand the peace of God in my heart that passes all understanding? It's something that we cannot even take in. It's almost beyond our understanding. Let me just read to you what Calvin has to say of this. He is right to call it the peace of God, inasmuch as it does not depend on the present aspect of things and does not bend itself to the various shiftings of the world, but is founded on the firm and immutable Word of God. He is right also to speak of it as surpassing all understanding or perception, for nothing is more foreign to the human mind than to hope, even in the depth of despair. That's foreign to the human mind to do that. To hope when we find ourselves in the depth of human despair or in the depth of poverty to see riches. And in the depth of weakness to not give way. To promise ourselves that nothing will be wanting us when we are destitute of all things. And all this in the grace of God alone, which is itself only known through the Word and the inward earnest of the Spirit. So you can, and that's it. Only the Christian can know that. Only the Christian can really know what the wisdom of God is. Only the Christian can know that understanding that has the peace of God that really does pass all human understanding. So when the world would look at one situation, whether that person be, as Calvin says, in a situation of despair, whether it regards their health, whether it regards their wealth, whether it regards their marriage, their family, whatever it is, I think just because it's been put in front of our faces here, this morning, Pastor Lopez. Just a severe trial that he's going through right now. Cannot even imagine that. And then to have the anxiety of the burden of the ministry of the Word on his mind and heart as well. A huge thing. But when one has the Lord, one has the peace of God, even in that situation. And it passes all understanding. Something that the world cannot nor never will be able to understand. How could those that we've looked at over the years in the missionary fellowship, the lives of individuals that have suffered greatly, that have given their lives over to mission work, suffering tremendous trials. How many of those individuals lost their wives, lost their children, and still went on serving the Lord? They had the peace of God in their lives, and that peace of God passed all understanding. They had their eye fixed upon the Lord. And oh, that we might have our eye fixed upon the Lord more clearly every day of our lives. You know, I think that I have much more that I could give. I have much more written to give out. But I think I'm going to close at that. And that hopefully that you would have your mind's eye fixed upon the Lord, and that you would see the Lord as is described in Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, the actual person, Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus. And if you are a believer this evening, He is the author and finisher of your faith, that we might always see the person so clearly that when we are on our knees praying, that we see the Lord in our mind's eye. We are praying to a real person, the Lord Himself. We're not just saying words. We're speaking to the Lord. We're speaking to the one who brought you into this world and the one who will take you out of this world. So shall we pray, please? Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word and for that which You give us out of Your Word. And we pray, Lord, that we might see You more clearly, that we might have our mind's eye more firmly and more clearly fixed upon You. We thank You, Lord, that He that dwelleth in me is greater than he without. And while this is merely a paraphrase of the verse, Lord, may we understand that You dwell within Your people. It is something beyond our understanding, but we know it to be true because You have told us in Your Word, and we thank You for that. So, Lord, we pray that as we would go forth from this place tonight, as we go to work, as we go to school, as we go to our various callings, whatever they may be, we pray, Lord, that we might have a clearer understanding of You and Your Word and of the peace of God that passeth all understanding, and how much more valuable wisdom is than gold, how much more valuable understanding is than silver. How much better is it? Nothing by comparison. No thing that we can think of adequately describes the comparison. There's literally nothing to compare it with, because it is better than all, because You are wisdom. You are understanding. You clearly tell us this in Your Word. You are the real thing. To have it is to have You. That's why there's no comparison to it. Because there's no comparison to You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your amazing grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.